So, welcome to the next episode of our TMP podcast, the first one after the long vacation period, and this episode is about the Optimizer. So, my name is Thomas Quintus, and I'm Scrum Master of the Freight Order Management team.
Yeah, Mike Burke, North American Consulting, currently working with development, a lot of experience with Optimizer in various scenarios.
Christoph Eckert, I'm one of the developers of the Optimizer engine.
My name is Thomas Schulz, also developer in the Optimizer engine.
My name is Katrin Dückerhoff, and I'm also a developer of the optimization team.
My name is Florian Schweinfurt. I'm also in the Optimizer team, and I'm more or less responsible for the more technical stuff of the Optimizer.
Hi, my name is Holger Hühner. I'm architect in the planning team on the application side.
Yeah, my name is Bernd Dittlich. I'm here for the stupid questions today. Yeah, as you, the Optimizer knows me like that, the Optimizer team, so good. Perfect fit. Yeah, as usual, first we talk about that topic from 10,000 feet perspective. So why do we have that Optimizer engine at all? So, I mean, it's at least four people working on it, so there must be a reason to have it. Yeah.
Maybe. I would distinguish between a calculation and an optimization to make this difference clear. A calculation, you have one solution for a certain problem. An example would be the sum of two numbers. 12 plus 5 is 17. There's only this one only solution. On the other hand, you have the optimization. In the optimization, you have many, many, many solutions. And you want to find one of these solutions with a certain weight or cost setting, I would say. For example, you want to fly from Madrid to Berlin, and assuming there's no direct flight. So you could go via Madrid, Paris, Paris, Berlin, or you could go Madrid, Rome, Berlin. Both solutions are valid, but of course, one is shorter than the other one, and probably because it's shorter, it's also cheaper, less costs. And in an optimization problem, you have typically many, many, many possible solutions. And
may I ask one question in
of
here?
Course.
So in that sense, for the optimization in TM, what would be an example for a solution for you?
An example for a solution would be the shipment of a freight unit from its source location to its destination location, going via some transshipment locations, maybe, or maybe directly.
Okay. That is the most simple solution, I think.
This is the most simple solution, yeah.
Should be shipped, and the solution is to create a freight order or select a freight booking or use a schedule for it.
Exactly.
Okay. That is, if you talk about solutions, so that would be an example. Okay, thanks.
And maybe just add to that, the VSR optimizer is about, so it's kind of two kinds of optimization. One is consolidation, which is more on the road transport. And then there's the transportation proposal, which would be your kind of your multimodal ocean container type of planning. And those are completely different problems to solve.
Right? Okay.
On the road side, it's about consolidation, making a decision between LTL, full truckload, maybe through hubs. And then, and of course, still respecting requested delivery dates and windows and other constraints and incompatibilities. A transportation proposal is a bit more complicated, right? Whether there's bookings and,
Okay.
I would like to come back a little bit to these many, many solutions we have. I already mentioned there are good solutions and not so good solutions. So you could go the short way or the long way. Short way typically would be cheaper, would be a better solution. And I would like to mention that a very important point is the runtime. So if you want to have the best solution possible for a freight unit from source to destination, the simplest way would to be enumerate all possible solutions and then comparing all these possible solutions and choosing the best one and giving this back to the user.
Enumerate means try it. Kind of.
Yes, calculate it and calculate the cost and then comparing for all these solutions the cost and returning the best one. However, this is not possible because even in medium-sized realistic transportation network scenarios, you have millions and billions of possible solutions. Calculating all of these solutions would take years of runtime, no matter which type of computer you use. So we have to limit the runtime of the optimizer, that it doesn't take years until it finds the solution, but a certain amount of time, half an hour, depends on the size and the complexity of the input scenario. And the optimizer engine uses heuristics to not simply stupidly enumerate all possible solutions, but the most promising ones. And then chooses, after the runtime has finished, the so far best solution found and returns it to the user. So it's very important to have in mind that the optimizer in a normal scenario cannot find the best solution. But in the limited runtime given by the user, it tries to find a very good one with heuristical approaches.
Okay, we come, I think, to that details, how it's searching for that.
We come to this later, but but very important to know, to have in mind, what is optimization in comparison to a calculation.
And a very common problem in the field, as we just discovered in the last couple of days again, is customers don't necessarily understand that going in. They do some QA testing, maybe with 10, 20, 30% of the volume. Maybe run the optimizer for half an hour with a single CPU, get acceptable results, and then they run it in production with 10x the volume, which isn't just 10x the runtime, because it increases the number of possible solutions exponentially. And then the optimizer doesn't produce the results that they're expecting. And there's a lot of confusion on how much runtime do we need, parallel processing.
And also, I think that what you mentioned as the best solution, I think we can maybe also come to it. All right, let's discuss it. Now, I think that can also be very different for the same problem, right? So if one customer have a focus on customer service for sales orders, then the best solution is to deliver everything very punctual, even if it would take a longer ride to do it or a longer drive, versus I do cross-dock, stock transfer thing, where really the cost, the distance, defined cost, for example, would play a role. Or if I'm in the US, then it is important where the last location really is. If it's downtown or not downtown, that is something that doesn't matter, for example, than in Europe. Even so, even if the distance would be longer in the US, since the last location is in a cheap zone, that can still, again, be the best solution, right? I think that's also one aspect. What best means is...
There are various factors influencing what means good and what means not so good. So it's times, it's distances, it's alternative vehicles. Do I go by air or by road? These are all different cost terms. And of course, it's also the task of the user setting up an optimization scenario to think about these costs and to set up these costs and to use these costs also to influence the result the optimizer will produce.
Okay. So if I try to summarize, the target of the optimizer is for given transportation requirements, in our case, normally freight units, TMP 2, episode 2. So if you want to know what a freight unit is, go to episode 2. And find the best way of delivering it, if possible, and then creating as a result freight orders, freight bookings, typically, or find that it's cheaper not to deliver. I think we also had examples where you don't want to truck or ship a truck if it's below like 70% utilization or something. So the best solution can potentially also be not to deliver in some cases, right? So as you said, what's the best solution is something defined by the customer scenario, and then how to translate that customer scenario into something you understand, something we come to later. Okay, I think we can now dive a bit deeper, right? Enough from 10,000 foot.
Maybe one last point, because it's a critical one, and it comes up again at every customer. That's the topic of costs. real cost versus notional costs, and the concept of DSO or direct shipment option. Again, customers don't always understand that initially. And so the in the case of road transportation, where we have a lot of small LTL freight units, the job of the optimizer is to see if we can find a cheaper consolidation alternative. So the DSO cost, direct shipment option, typically be the real LTL cost, right, which is calculated already in the freight unit and is automatically fed into the optimizer. Right. So now when we go through our consolidation, it's important that we then compare that real LTL cost to real FTL cost. Right. Still a bit of a gap there, but with an enhancement that can be addressed for the most part. Well, it's really important that the audience understands that whole topic going into the design around real cost. Because if you don't have the right cost factors, that all the other constraints don't.
Yeah, I think we come to that if you go, what is actually the information that the optimizer gets? With that, it will become clearer what is possible and what's maybe also not possible with the optimizer. That's we try to go through that. Yeah, maybe as a very basic step, we should discuss what do I need if I want to use that magic machine. So what is the technical infrastructure and setup that I would need? So I'm new in TM. I want to try that optimizer. Yeah, what do I need? Where do I get it from? Maybe Flo, you can add some words.
Yeah, you need you basically need the optimizer. That's what we are currently discussing about. It's a little engine. You can think of it like an executable, like your notepad is just one executable. You can download it from the service marketplace where you get all our software. Either you go for a patch if you have already installed it and want to update to the newest version, or you go to the downloads and installations, and there you get a whole CD with all our optimizer engine for different platforms. We currently support three platforms. That's the Windows, the RX platform, and the Linux platform. That's what we currently support.
So basically, it's a separate place. It's not installed on the, or it's not part of TM and not programmed in ABAP also.
Yeah.
But what is it? Maybe some words on technically.
It's written in C++. It's a C++ executable, totally independent from your application server, from your TM. So after you install TM, you do not have the optimizer. You have some of the basic configuration, customizing set up, but the optimizer is not running. So you need to ask your IT guys to set up the optimizer, and you can set it up on a dedicated server, or you can set it up on your own application server. So there are various options where you can run your optimizer.
Should we also discuss a bit on when would I install it on a separate server, and when would I put it on an application server? I think one obvious prerequisite is that the application servers runs on the same operating system that you support, right?
Yeah, of course.
And besides that, why would I install a separate server and not put it on my application server? What are the?
Yeah, the basic or the most important thing is that optimization requires a lot of CPU power. So as faster your CPU is, the faster we can compute solutions. That's the basic thing. So it's always good to have a free server. So as long as you have other things running on it, either it's a database or it's an application server, all of that consumes CPU as well as memory. So the second thing besides CPU power is memory. We always use, depending on your data volume, of course, we need a lot of memory while we do some computing. Of course, we have to have everything in the memory. Mm. And so it's always good to have a standalone server. We recommend, at least for productive use, we recommend to have a standalone server in place.
Okay. I think one more reason is also for maintainability, so to say. If you have one application server, but behind that different servers, we also have some problems for the error analysis, right?
As we are not running on the application server, not running in ABAP like TM does, we have to have some kind of magic in the background, which gives us the ability to do some maintenance on our own. That means we have to write some trace files. We have to somehow, at least sometimes, dump the input data that the optimizer gets, dump our results so that we can somehow look at how the process went, what went wrong, and what is the data that came in. And for that, we have to have some communication with the optimization server. And if you have if you can think of multiple application servers and you have just maintained one destination in it, then we don't know where to get the trace files from. That's one of the problems. I would need to dig deeper into that in order to explain why, but it's always it's always an issue to have multiple application servers, so because we don't know why or where the trace files are located in that case.
Okay. And so as I understood that, one piece is that you really have for production, it's a separate machine where you install that executable. Then you most likely need a connection, RFC connection to it.
Maybe for that you need a, it's not just the executable, you also need the SAP gateway for that, which does the RFC communication on that server. Okay. If you have your application server, it already has the SAP gateway built in, but if you go for a standalone server, you would need, besides our optimizer engines, you would also need the SAP gateway installed.
Okay, but I think there will be installation guides for that, how to do
it. Absolutely, yes.
Okay. So now I have that engine, I have that connection. I think somehow I also have to teach my system when to call this engine and when another one, maybe if I have multiple servers. Is there some more magic in the middle, right?
There's a framework involved. It's called RCCF. So if you use the transactions for customizing the optimizer, you will come around RCCF. It's called Remote Control and Communication Framework. So it handles all the communication and controlling of the optimizer engines. There is one transaction where you can customize your engine destinations, means that you have for, we have different optimizer engines. We haven't digged into that already, but we have different types. And for each type, you can maintain, let's say, at least one server or at least one destination. They can all live on the same server. Everyone can be on a separate server. That totally depends on your own scenario. And you can also have for one optimizer engine multiple destinations for load balancing, or as said, if you have a very high volume or have very high need for computation power, then you can also maintain different servers so that you can have multiple runs at once which go onto different servers. And for that, we have one destination and the for one customizing transaction, and the other one, of course, is the RFC. The normal RFC destinations, which you have to adjust. We pre-deliver some of the destinations so that you just need to change your host name, meaning your server name, and the path where you did install your executables. And just if you want to maintain some more, you have to create new ones.
Okay. So. But normally, I think after a normal system setup procedure, all that stuff would already be done by the basis, right?
More. I guess your IT guys will do the main customizing steps.
And talking about that installation options, maybe you can also just talk about, as Mike said, you might have big optimization problems and limited times if you run into production system and maybe limited server capabilities. Are there also options to kind of outsource that, or do I always have to have that huge machine, even if I only need it once a week, for example?
We have a cloud solution in place. It's not an offering from SAP, so we will not be hosting, at least not at the moment, we will not be hosting the optimization server, but you could use a cloud provider and install the optimizer there. So for this case, we do not rely on RFC connection. We rely on a web service SOAP connection. It's a common standard for web services, and we could utilize that. But it's currently not in the standard, so it's kind of a thing where you should get a consultant involved.
Yeah,
in that case, to to make sure that you get some support from our side and get all the technical stuff set up. But it's possible, and it's for smaller runs, and if you do not want to waste the whole machine for that and just need it on the weekend or something like that, it's very possible.
Or if you need a huge instance but only like once a week,
yes,
that
absolutely
might be a
absolutely
use case then. Okay. Yes. There would be things, so the service would be things like Microsoft Azure and
Currently, it's primarily it's Amazon. Huh? Microsoft Azure is a little bit a different approach on the cloud thing, but currently it's Amazon and everything. Every other provider who does infrastructure as a service thing.
Okay. Cool. So that is.
Yeah, I guess something we need to remember in that case is. Maybe some words about the technical or how does the optimizer work at all? Mm-hmm. Because we'll later talk about our input files and stuff like that. Is that our optimizer works stateless, which means it does not. It's not like a database, or it cannot directly access your database and with all the data in it. But it works like that. If you punch the button on your screen and you want to optimize something, the optimizer is started up. So it's not running all the time. It's started on demand. And after that, it gives a call into your system and gets all the data relevant for this very very special optimization scenario. So only a limited amount of your data is transferred to the optimizer. Then this data is optimized, and the result is then pushed back to the system. And after that, the optimizer goes down and is finished. So it's totally stateless. There is no data written that will be later on used for another optimization run or something like that. It's definitely totally stateless.
So everything the optimizer knows must be in that transfer file. So if you can't find it there, most likely or definitely it's not, cannot be considered by the optimizer.
Definitely.
Since there's no magic. Or
yes,
something.
Yes.
Okay, so if you, because sometimes I also had that discussion that said, I changed that setting and then I have that result. But if you don't find that setting in that communication file, most likely you at least have a special perception or something, but it can't really influence the optimizer if it's not there. There's nothing that the optimizer would call back and ask for something or get additional information. All it got is through that that's what we always reference as the in file, right?
Yes.
That's the file sent to the optimizer, and the out file is then the perfect or good, whatever runtime you give it.
Result. The best solution found in a given runtime.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, the wording comes from we look at the optimizer and it's input data, so we call it an in file, and it's from the optimizer perspective, it's what we give out is our out file. And
right, from our perspective, vice versa, right? From
yes, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to mention one thing that this doesn't misunderstood. You can, of course, start several instances of the optimizer in parallel. So two users can press the button at the same time and two definitely independent instances.
I think that is maybe if we go through that process. What happens then? So you press that button, then you already talked about that customizing. We'll be fine. Okay, if I do that optimization, and maybe now we can also say that you mentioned already different kinds of optimization. I think in our context is that what we call VSR, right? Vehicle scheduling and routing.
The standard optimization, vehicle scheduling and routing. Mm-hmm. We have the further mentioned transportation proposal, sometimes called VRG. And there are some other optimizers which come around. Carrier selection is something which is sometimes relevant from the planning perspective.
What does the carrier selection do, very high level? Select the carrier?
The carrier selection finds the best carrier for a freight order. It's running after the VSR optimization. So first of all, you plan your freight orders with a planning cost or maybe some real costs which are put into the planning costs. And afterwards, in a second step, the carrier selection optimizer is called. And it is it is an exact algorithm. That means that it will find the best solution. It's a mixed integer linear problem. And normally it's very fast. And if you compare it with a VSR optimizer here, you give a runtime, but normally as the optimizer finds the best solution, it will finish before, because it knows now I found the best solution and it will give it back.
What is the best in sense of a carrier selection?
The best solution means with the best cost. The carrier selection is also cost-based.
In this case, it's using, of course, real cost. It's calling the charge calculation engine
Yes, it's real costs from the carriers, but you have also some penalties for business shares. Yes, are going into the cost.
Because otherwise, if we wouldn't have the constraints, it would just be calculation, right? As you.
Yes. No, it would be a sorting of carriers. When you only have the prices for the transportation, then you would have been you would have a sorting of the carriers. And if you have some capacity restrictions or business shares, then it becomes a real optimization problem. And then the engine is calculating or finding the really best solution.
Yeah. And considering the cost for different carriers, but also what is my target business share, so that otherwise I would always use my cheapest carrier and never use my backup carrier.
Yeah.
I think that is one thing to be considered, right? And then also maximum and minimum usages of certain carriers and certain
some
buckets.
Have only a limited capacity.
That makes it then complicated enough that it's worth an optimizer.
Yes.
All that together.
Yes.
Okay.
And when we talk about, again, cost, just to be clear, on a freight order by freight order, right? You've got the list of carriers and it's, you know, pretty simple to create the ranked list. But if there's business share and allocations in place, then it'll consider the total lowest cost solution.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's basically, if I have a cheap two carriers, one is cheaper than the other in both cases, and then I have a 50-50 business share, it would pick the one where the difference is bigger and select it there, right? That's a basic idea. Okay. So we have that vehicle scheduling and routing engine, optimizer engine. We have then that routing guide
transportation proposal usually called.
We have the carrier selection. And I think the scheduler is also using that same infrastructure, right?
Yes, it's using the infrastructure and the executables, but it's not an optimizer in from the optimizer definition. This is more some calculation engine, just defining some dates and times for some activities. So it's if you are manually planning freight orders, adding some freight units somewhere, then this there has to be some calculation. When can it take place? Does it fit from the times? And these calculations are done with a VSS engine, scheduling engine called from the manual planning itself, and not from inside the other optimizers.
Okay.
It's not an optimizer, because in manual planning you want to have the result very fast. So
I think that's why maybe it's also one concern. Since this is also called, the scheduler is called, I think the transportation proposal, it can also be called in as part of the sales order scheduling. So when you enter the sales order, I think the, and maybe that's also one point for that RCC connection. So for those scenarios, at least, it makes sense to have a very fast connection. So maybe have also physically nearby server for that scheduling and for the maybe transportation proposal, because that's interactive, versus the optimizer, maybe it's something run in batch, and then the communication time is not so critical. So that's why I think it may make sense to have different optimization or engine servers for the different use cases as well, right?
Yes, definitely. I mean, if you go for real time, you wouldn't go for a cloud provider, for example. But if you have a batch job running at the weekend or at the evening, you can, of course, outsource that one.
Okay. So if you press that button to close the loop, you press the button, you know, okay, now I do the vehicles VSR optimizer. So, and then you look up in the table, okay, for the VSR optimizer, I should use that engine. Then that in file is kind of created based on the input. We come to that later, and passed to the optimizer, which I started before, calculated as long as allowed, and then the out file is returned and processed by the application again.
I mean, it's important to know that we do not transfer files, but the files are just for maintenance purposes. We write down everything we get in and get out as long as you have set the debug switch, which we get or come by later, I guess. Okay. But everything is transferred with RFC, and so it's compressed it's better than just transferring some files.
Of course. Okay. But that's the input that you provide.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, but you're not transfer. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Never thought about that in detail. Right? Yeah. Okay. So that is the technical side of the setup. So now we know already how to call the optimizer. What else would I need to start the monster?
Well, if you want to start your first optimization, you need, of course, some master data. Mm-hmm. You need at least two locations, a source location and a destination location. You want to ship a freight unit from the source location to the destination location. Mm-hmm. And then you need some kind of geography between these two locations. Typically, it would be a lane and a related means of transport.
Maybe I can plug here the TMP 6 or something, the geography episode. So if you don't understand what a lane is, please play back or rewind to episode, the geography episode. Okay.
So you need that lane, which goes from the source location to the destination location. And you need a related means of transport and an explicit vehicle, a resource vehicle, like a truck, something like that, with a certain kind of capacity. The freight unit is a capacity requirement. It requires 1,000 kilograms, for example, and the truck has a certain capacity supply, 40,000 kilograms, so I can put that freight unit on that truck. And then I can ship the freight unit from source to destination using this truck on that lane. And in order to enable the optimizer to find this solution, to create this freight order for that freight unit, you have to collect all these master data and all this transactional data. So the locations, the lane, the vehicle, and the freight unit. Collect all these data, pass it through this RFC channel to the engine. Then the engine runs, calculates, or optimizes the result and returns it back through the RFC engine channel.
Simple.
Back to the application. So this would be your first optimization scenario.
Okay. How would I? So we already explained. So we would need a freight unit. We need some geography. We need some vehicles representing the trucks as an input. But how do we also need something? Well, I think we need something to define. Okay. I want to select this truck and not the one from my colleague. And I want to select this freight unit and not the one from last month. Maybe Holger, do you want to add something on how to define the scope of that
optimization? The question is from where do you start the optimizer? And there we have a central UI for planning. It's called the planning cockpit or transportation cockpit. And when you enter the cockpit, the first thing you see is a selection screen. So there you can say you want to see all freight units that leave from a certain location. Or you can say, make a selection via time, via geography, mode of transport. Maybe you want to only use ocean bookings, etc. You can make a direct selection, or you can use planning profiles, selection profiles, where you can define a specific set of selections. Then when you enter the cockpit, you can then from there, you have you can start all planning functionality that there is. So for the optimizer, you would either manually select some freight units that you want to plan and the resources that you want to use, and then say you want to plan the selected entries. Or you could also say you want to plan everything that you have selected. And when you do that, then in the background, there is a planning strategy that is started. So planning strategy was a different podcast.
Process controller.
Probably have seen, the process controller. So the strategy would then do several things. The first one would be the pre-processing, and there the system would collect all data according to your selection. So it would read the locations, the freight unit data, and so on. It would also log the data for the planning run, so nobody else could interfere with the data while you are optimizing them. So that would be the first step. It would also determine the costs. So you can also define cost profiles and define the costs, the virtual cost for your for penalties, for using specific resources, and so on. Also incompatibilities, maybe we can go into that later if we still have time. You define the planning horizon. So maybe you say you want only to optimize for the next few days. You also define the max runtime in one of these profiles, the maximum time you want to wait. As said earlier, the longer the time, probably the better the solution is. That would be the first thing. And then this data is handed over via an RFC call to the RCCF framework.
The first step is something that typically is called then pre-processing in our...
It's pre-processing. There's a specific strategy step that's also called pre-processing. If you you can even modify it with your own strategy for pre-processing, your own method.
That's also possible. Enhance it.
Enhance it, probably better. Okay, and all these master data and transactional data that you want to be you want to have optimized is then passed to the RCCF engine. That's the main step. And after the best solution is calculated, optimized,
optimized and feasible.
When the result comes back, then there's another method. That's the post-processing method. That is reading the result that came from the optimizer and is then posting the result on the business objects. So that would be freight unit stops, so additional stages that the optimizer may have created when it used the hubs. Also maybe new bookings that were created, new freight orders, and so on. So that's the result of the optimizer, basically new freight unit stages, bookings, freight orders. And that needs to be posted then by the application. That's then done by the post-processing, and that is the end of the strategy, more or less. So then the data is there. You can see it in the cockpit. You can even manually make changes to the result. And then when you are fine with it, you can save it then from the cockpit, a separate step.
Okay. So sounds like, besides the master data or setup that we defined before, I need some profiles. Maybe we will deep dive into that setup a bit later, and then optimize the strategy. What are the steps to be performed? And I think one example where why would I have different strategies is if I want to run that carrier selection that we briefly touched before, that could be or is a different strategy compared to the normal selection, right?
So each engine needs different input data. So we have for each engine, we have different strategy with different methods for pre-processing, post-processing. And we even have one strategy that does VSR optimizing and carrier selection in one step. Technically, it's two steps, but it's called one step because it's
from the engine,
it's only one call from the outside. It's only one call. So both engines are then called one after the other. And then the result that you get back is optimized freight orders and bookings, and already the best carrier is assigned to it.
Okay. So that is already the end-to-end process for the optimizer, technically, right? As we talked about before about the weekend, so if I want to have that big run at the weekend, do I have to hire somebody sitting in front of the cockpit pressing the button and wait for the 2 hours, or are there other options as
one
well?
Option. the other would be to schedule a background job that does the optimization just in the time you want it to run. There's a report that you can schedule then.
Okay, but it would perform the same steps, but without somebody sitting there, right?
It would perform the same steps. The requirement would then be that you have profiles. Of course, it's an implicit selection. In the cockpit, you can manually select what you want, but there you would just use the profiles.
Everything that falls into that range of the profiles and selected by the profiles would then be
optimized. Yes.
Okay. So that makes sense then also to restrict it to the stuff that I really want to optimize, coming back to what we discussed earlier, right? So if I select too much or more than I actually need to optimize, that makes a problem then even.
Of course, yes.
Ah, I recall.
The same thing.
Yeah. The maybe after we went through that end-to-end process, but globally, so from an application perspective, maybe also we can also touch the what happens inside the optimizer. For us, it was just so far an RFC call. Since it takes half an hour, I think there must be something happening inside that RFC call. So maybe maybe you can just
you can give a short overview of what's going on in the optimizer. Yes. First, as already said, the optimizer engine receives all the input data, all the master data, the transactional data, all other parameters like runtime, planning horizon, and whatever. And it's creating with this data an internal model and first does some reduction in the model. So it analyzes which of the means of transport really can be used. Perhaps some means of transport fall into the selection, but aren't usable for the freight units because of perhaps incompatibilities, some lanes missing, or some other restrictions on the data. So some of the past inputs data just were reduced and filtered out, and so possible more or less infeasible solutions are directly eliminated out of the problem. And then with the created internal model, the optimization starts. So we first have to create an initial solution, so a solution where at first everything is planned. And for this, we have some heuristics which try to fill all the freight units onto some of the resources parts. So it may be some vehicles, as we already heard, we could have, or some other resources like trailers. We could have schedules, bookings, ships, planes, whatever there's available as resource, as capacity for the freight units. Also, in this step of the optimization, we not just put it on any of the resources, but we try to find the best fitting one on the current situation. But as said before, it's just a heuristic, so we only get an initial solution where hopefully everything is planned what is possible. It may happen that we have not enough capacity, or the plan is not good enough to fill in all the freight units, but then we can try to optimize this later. And this is the next step after creating this initial feasible solution. We try to improve this solution. So we check, are there some freight units which may should be combined to a consolidated shipment? Or we try to check if there are, especially if there are hubs involved, we can try to figure out, are there any main backbone lanes which can consolidate most of the stuff transferred to not use, let's say, 20 small trucks, but one big truck to have a full truckload, or even to use perhaps an ocean vessel instead of some planes. And then we try to improve the solution. We try to fill in all the freight units which aren't already planned, and we do also some other steps to not only have the stuff put into a truck, but also to improve the route of the truck, to really have the shortest distance for all the locations in one freight order. Mm. And we try to find some good fitting dates and times for the freight units to consider the requested dates for the freight units, and not to have some penalties for early or late delivery.
Is that all in one step when you improve, or would you first to look for date times and then, or how is that? You
know, internally, we have many different operators considering the different aspects of the solution, the assignment of freight units to resources. We have some operators which improve the routing for some vehicles. We have operators which do the scheduling stuff to shift some tours forward or backward.
Operators in, are like
some coding. Small steps modifying the solution. And all the steps are done once after each other and just until the time is over. So we not do one step improving the assignment and the routing and then finish, but we do that several times. We most time improve the solution to find a better solution if it's possible. But sometimes it may happen, since it's a heuristic, that we find some, let's say, local optimal solution which can't be improved there, and then we have to do some further changes to that. Say, okay, don't use this kind of truck or this specific transshipment location, but we make some larger changes to get a different solution using maybe some other resources, some other transshipment locations, some completely different consolidation for the freight units. And such a step may reduce the quality of such a solution, but with this different solution, we continue to improve it and hopefully find a better solution from a cost perspective than the other solutions before. And this small steps, doing some small modifications to the solution, we continue until the time is over.
And okay, so you have your initial solution, then you kind of try to improve it bit step by step. Yes. And then if you have the feeling or calculation result that you cannot improve with small changes, then you would make a significant change and,
yes,
for example, change the mode of transport or something to also to search as much solutions as possible, but always in a wide place, right? So you mentioned, yes, local optimums or optimal.
Yes, most of the steps are, since we are not an exact algorithm, we have some kind of local search. We try out different alternatives, starting with this with a given solution. We especially in the routing optimization, we try to change the positions of two stops in the sequence, and there are many of these possibilities. And we just enumerate several of them and then select the best ones. And mostly all of our changing operators work in this mode. We enumerate some different possible solutions with some small changes and select the best one of.
To take an example, so I would start with 10 freight units going from A to 8 different locations. Then you would first build your initial solution, for example, one freight order per freight unit if you have enough resources, or?
Yes, this may be an option, especially if you have some, let's say, small and fast trucks, and then it would be, for each of these freight units, it would be the best thing to use this small truck. Then it's but the other option would be to just consolidate them to a multi-stop shipment, and this is later respected that we just change the resource, put all the other freight units to this multi-stop shipment, and calculate the cost. And if it's a better solution, especially if you have then get some more or less full truck load, then it could be a better solution, and we
and then maybe you would take that multi-stop shipment equals freight order, right? Multi-stop freight order, and then try with that, change the sequence, and if you find out, okay, I'm in a dead end, I can't improve that one, you would instead, for example, create two separate freight orders and try what you can achieve with that two separate freight orders instead of the one you had before or the three you had before.
Exactly. Especially if there are sometimes different dates, it may be possible to do it with one shipment, but then you have some freight units which are much too early or too late be delivered. Then it would be perhaps a good idea to use several freight orders to ship them, even though the real transportation cost itself from a fuel cost point of view are higher, but then you won't have some penalties for earliness or lateness. So we do some lots of small changes, evaluate the solution with our internal cost, and always remember the best solution found so far. So it's not the final solution, it's not the solution we had at the end, But we always consider if it's a new best solution we found, we remember them, and then later on at the end, when the time is finished, we return the best solution, as said before, we found during our optimization steps. And we make lots of steps inside optimization. We calculate and evaluate thousands or millions of different solutions during some optimization run, depending on the runtime and the complexity of the such run.
And is this a deterministic process overall?
We internally have some kind of random number generation, but it's deterministic. So if you in this sense that if you start with the same data and the same starting point, we can rerun exactly the same thing. It's especially important if you want to debug that. So if some kind of problem exists, then we can we do this run. But usually if the data changes slightly, then it's gives a different, or if you have the same data but have a different starting random number, so we would even have some different results. So that's also a thing if we have to have some high volume things, so we can also do some kind of parallel processing to just not use only one CPU for this, but we could use several CPUs. So we just would internally start several of threads which considers in parallel the solution. They start with the same solution, but the first one goes in one direction because of the random number which selects which change will be done, and another thread will have a different starting point and will start in another direction, so that we can process more solutions in the same time.
Okay. But so then, if you have two cores that you can use, you would create two of the initial solutions that you mentioned and start from there with that optimization and make it very different, that starting solution, to avoid that you always that you consider the same thing on the two.
Yes.
Threads. Okay. If I have eight, then I have eight solutions. And if I have 100,
then you would have 100 if you have
but it's important.
Machine lateness.
It's important to know that it does not scale with your CPU, with the number of CPUs. You have to have a configuration set up so you can define yourself how many CPUs or how many cores you want to use. Mm. So it's not like if you have four cores, then it will utilize all four. Mm. By default, if your optimization profile says use one in parallel, then only one core is used.
Okay, two, yeah.
Maybe we should mention also that it's not that the solution will not be as good as many cores you are using, because
it's not if I have 1 hour runtime with one core, I can't bring it down to 1 minute with 60 cores.
Yes. No. Yes. The number of solutions we would consider is more or less linear with the number of CPUs we lose we use, but. But it's not the runtime behavior itself. So if you double the number of CPUs, you can't you usually don't find the same solution in half of the runtime. Because as said before, we have several threads searching in the complete search space, and it's not that they work on the same solution and just split up the computations for one solution to the several cores, but we have several of those search threads which work in parallel and hopefully find better solutions, since we can consider more solutions in general. But it, as said, it's not linear.
Okay. Maybe for those of us or of the listeners that listen to their OR sessions better than I did in their studies, is there something to describe that formally a bit what you do? So what kind of, or is it similar to, I don't know, like all right, we heard it's not a linear optimization thing, so
traveling salesman problem.
Yeah, that's a problem, but the solution.
Traveling salesman problem is one of our sub problems. It's when we do the routing optimization of a one freight unit. It's a abstraction of the general vehicle routing problem with lots of additional constraints. And from a algorithm point of view, it's some combination of local search strategies with some taboo search inside. We use some techniques from evolutionary algorithm sites and so on. It's more or less best of the meta heuristic stuff which is available in the outside world. We combine to try to solve our problem.
Okay, I think there are also regular benchmarks, right, where different optimizer engines are running against each other.
Yes, but this is only for the more or less academic traveling salesman problem stuff. Or so we also can optimize those scenarios, but this, but the scenarios we have are have much more constraints in it and much more features to be considered. So it's a completely different strategy.
Okay, that's maybe a good.
Überleitung.
The handover to constraints. You mentioned you have two things. We have a lot of constraints to be considered, and we always talked about our best or cheapest planning cost solution. Maybe we can at least high level talk about the different things that influence the cost on the one hand side, and what are the constraints that we have on the other side. Maybe should we start with the cost or with the constraints? Or
yeah, maybe I can start with the cost. We have first of all fixed costs which are used for a transportation resource. So if you use the resource for a freight order, then that cost will occur.
That is, once I use that resource within the planning, or once I use it for a freight order, if I have two freight orders for that same resource?
It's normally for per freight order.
Okay.
So for each freight order, you have to pay these costs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you want to make the costs good or that you get good solutions, you should make the cost cheaper for smaller trucks and for bigger trucks, they should be a little bit.
How would I define it? That smaller truck, bigger truck, that is, where is that defined? The costs for the different sizes of trucks? And how would I define it? Is it maybe in the in the optimization cost profile per means of transport?
You already said it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that generally, then talking about costs. Yeah,
so it's, I mean, the maintenance, of course, is for one thing, you maintain it in a cost profile, depending on means of transport there, or you can also use some defaults. Then you also have costs in the lanes, the lane master data. And, yeah.
Okay, so, but it's per means of transport. So if I have 10 trucks, which are the same size, they have the same, or not only the size, but things like refrigerated or not, so different price drivers, then I would have different means of transport and maintain the costs, fixed costs, for example, for that. Okay.
So as Holger already mentioned, we have also travel dependent costs. Yeah, maybe per distance or per duration, so that you can optimize the routing of a freight order.
But isn't that something like a per mile rate or
rate? So, we don't have any rates.
Yeah, but to compare it to real world, it's something if I pay per mile, a dollar, then
also per unit if you want, so quantity dependent.
Okay, that's another one then again, right?
Yeah.
okay, so
you can only have costs per unit of measurement you have loaded, maybe for the weight. So if your freight order has a weight of, I don't know, 1 ton, then the costs will be for the tons, or for ton per kilometer you can have it also.
Then you already mentioned duration, right? So per time unit? Is that only when driving, or how is that then calculated?
It's for the whole freight order, from the start of the freight order until the end of the freight order, or it's per tour, per freight order. Yeah.
Okay, so I could use that one then to reduce it, to avoid unnecessary waiting times, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And that's kind of a good segue into the real cost versus the notional cost. So the cost that we've talked about so far, you get the fixed cost per means of transport, two different distance costs, right? One that you can specify on the planning profile itself, which is kind of global. And then from the lane is another dimension.
Yeah.
And then the duration costs. When we talk about quantity costs, which can be defined on the lane, typically truckload rating is per distance. And then the smaller, like the LTL, is quantity based. But the LTL is much more complicated in terms of break weight rating and all kinds of complexities there. And there we have the DSO cost. So direct shipment option would be used to model your parcel cost, your LTL cost, because there you would never do consolidation. So we calculate the real cost already on the freight unit. So typically in practice, at least if we're doing truckload LTL type optimization, we don't use any quantity cost, not relevant. In fact, you don't even put the LTL means of transports in the profile, right? Because with the DSO costs, the cost is fed into the optimizer. And if that freight unit, if we don't find a cheaper option, consolidation option for that freight unit, then it remains unplanned.
Right? And unplanned means remains LTL. So I mean, you still have a plan, right?
Exactly. So it remains unplanned in the sense that if we still have some time, it would go into the next optimization where we have more orders, more consolidation opportunities. And then at some point, if we do need to ship an LTL or parcel, then we convert that freight unit directly into either an LTL freight order or a parcel. Possibly. Slightly different process. So the duration cost, for example, we would keep, because it's not a real cost, we keep that as small as possible. Same with penalty costs, for example, for early and late pickup and delivery. Those costs we keep as tiny as possible so that they don't get mixed up or influence the real cost calculation.
Okay. For that distance cost that you mentioned, I think there are also two options, right? Because if I have a multi-stop freight order, I might have different costs maintained on the different lanes. Maybe can we explain a bit on that?
So there's two options on the planning profile where per means of transport, you can define what's called route-based distance cost calculation or destination-based distance cost calculation. So it's common in Europe where we look at each transportation lane. So from shipping point to customer A or the zone of customer A, take the distance times the cost. And then from customer A to customer B, we look at that lane and we take the cost times the distance on that lane and each stop. In North America, that's where we use the destination base. So there the calculation is we look at the lane from the origin to the final destination. So if we're going from shipping point to customers A, B, and C, we would look at the lane from the origin zone to the zone of customer C, take the distance cost there times the entire distance from shipping point to A to B and B to C, and one total calculation.
And so in that sense, or with that cost, it can be cheaper to have a longer run if the final location is in a cheap zone.
Exactly. Okay.
So that's why it's very important to distinguish that. Huh? Okay. So I already mentioned that earliness delay. So you can also define penalty costs for delivering early or pickup early?
For both. We have a cost for the pickup side and the delivery side. You don't need to maintain all of the costs, but if you say, okay, it's relevant to have it, let's say, as a producer shipped from your yard to have a place for another stuff just building, then you can use some kind of pickup cost for loading, but you can also do it from what is the usual case for the delivery side. So if you ship something to a customer and he said, okay, I want to have it next Friday, then this is a requested delivery date. You could say, okay, if it's on Friday, then it's for free. But if you can't ship it for Friday, but we are there first Monday after, then it's okay. It's okay, but it would cost you. So you perhaps say, okay, I'll do some different routing to have this on time, but consider some more miles to go there to have it on time and. Okay.
So you have kind of like a comfort zone for that pickup or delivery, where you say, those, okay, you have within that day, that's okay. I think that is the requested time. So
this time window, you can define the time window where it's for free to deliver it or to load it. Then you have another
for free for the optimizer, right?
For free for the optimizer, yes.
Not for the customer.
So no additional penalty cost. And then you have the outside this free zone, you have the area where it costs either for being early or for being late. Mm-hmm. And then you can, but you can also restrict it to have some kind of, but you can say you can deliver it earlier, but not more than 2 days mm-hmm. or not more than 3 days late. So we also can have some hard constraints. And between mm-hmm. the soft and hard time, you know, there we do have some linear penalty cost, okay. which can be maintained. This can be maintained either defaulting for all freight units on the cost profile, or one can have some determinations which they can be on any kind of location based or freight unit based or any of the stuff to set up this this windows and the penalty costs.
Okay, I think we can refer here to the freight unit and the date and time episode where I think we talked about the pickup delivery poodle. Time windows, I think, who wants to learn more about the tour times, maybe we can.
Then everything is clear about our times.
You're talking about times, maybe there's also time we already talked about the time related cost. Is there a more cost terms? Something you forgot?
Yeah, we have regarding the freight order cost, we can have a cost for the stop-offs of some freight order to, let's say, restrict it to not have too long from the number of stops freight order.
Okay.
And we have additionally some kind of penalty cost for non-delivering some freight units. So especially if you have a limited capacity to transport your freight units, it may happen that some freight units remain unplanned, and then you can maintain some cost, which could force optimizers to select which of the freight units are more relevant for for delivering, or which are not as relevant, and either to say as optimizer, you just should plan this freight unit, because if you go with some freight order somewhere, you usually have some transportation cost, be it lane-based, destination-based, or whatever. And not performing the freight unit without having penalty cost would be cheaper, because then you don't need the transportation, so it's better. And so to just plan every freight unit, there should be some penalty cost for non-delivering, which also can be maintained on the cost profile. Mm-hmm.
And then to have like a priority between the different freight units, my customer service level one freight unit is preferred against my STO, which is not it.
Yep.
And if I remember right, there's one more term, right? That load cost function thing. Should we mention it or?
I think you just mentioned it. Oh, so it's a possibility to. To try to fill up some resources to as much as possible to say we won't want to ship out a freight order with less than 50% capacity or 70% capacity. And if optimizer builds up a freight order below a different level, then we would have some penalty cost for this. Such that the optimizer would try to fill up this freight order with more freight units to have a more or less a full truck load.
So basically, you define a penalty for not using up the space of a truck, right?
Yes. So, but it also can be maintained. You say, okay, I don't want to have it filled up more than 50% because then we have to pay a more toll on roads or whatever. Mm. So it's a free maintainable function.
Okay. But the purpose of that is that you avoid, and then sometimes maybe even not ship if the truck is too... No, it's not filled up enough. So to avoid a truck fill level of 80%, you can also use that, right? Or below 80%. So
yep.
Okay. Good. But that's it with the costs, right? If we remember some, we can cut them in later.
Some very special terms like motors costs, where I think
a deep dive session then. Okay, that's already a lot of cost. You also talked about constraints before. So what are the constraints that you would consider while finding optimizing the best solution in the given time? So what else do you consider?
First, we can have some cost, some constraints similar to the cost. So we always mentioned the duration cost or some distance based cost, however, or stop offs. So we could define some limits on, let's say, the transportation time of a freight order, which could say you can build a freight order, but only if it's not longer than 1 day, or you can limit the freight order to not travel more than 300 miles or to not have more than five stop offs. So we have some kind of limits.
Maybe one thing about if you talk about times and distances, maybe since you mentioned it here, maybe it's good to know if you look into the technical infrastructure that the optimizer always works with seconds and kilometers, right?
Yes, but this is just conversion stuff. You can maintain it in the cost profile settings there. You can maintain those limits, and I think they can be maintained with...
Yeah, you can make that. But if you go into the files, you not necessarily find your values 1-to-1 because internally it's always kilometers and seconds, right?
Just to
mention that. Okay. Good. So you mentioned we have that maximum number of stops, maximum distance.
We already had this dates for freight units, which is a different podcast.
Yeah. But same times.
Yeah. You have incompatibilities, meaning you must not put freight units of type cats into the same truck where you already have freight units of type dogs.
At least they say alive.
So, and there are many additional incompatibilities, not only freight unit on a truck, but also, I guess, truck on location and... many more, I can't remember.
It's freight unit in the same compartment, so cats and dogs on the same truck, but in different parts of it, I think.
Yeah.
Then it's, what else do we have?
Incompatibilities between freight units and resource. Trucks, between freight units and compartments, especially if you have some kind of frozen stuff and non-frozen stuff to transport.
Mm. All kind of...
Means of transport combination and location.
Means of transport combination. Maybe that's a separate topic then. Truck trailer planning separately. Yeah, maybe mentioning it at least so we can also do a truck trailer planning really with road trains where you really assign freight units to trailers and then recouple the trailers to different resources. I think we haven't touched that so far, so maybe he's mentioning it. Okay. What else? We also have time constraints. We already mentioned the freight unit ones. I think there's also...
We have capacity. We already mentioned capacity.
Yeah, maybe capacity. We always talked about mass. Is it is it only mass? Is it alternatively volume? Is it additionally volume?
You can have many dimensions of capacity. You could have on one truck a capacity supply of mass and volume.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a freight unit with a certain weight and a certain volume and... both of these dimensions have to fit, otherwise you cannot put that freight unit on that truck.
So you always check it, all dimensions?
All dimensions are being checked. And you can, as far as I know, you can even invent your own dimensions.
Yeah. But usually ones are weight, volume, number of pallets,
pallet footprints, then the calculation comes into play. You don't have a complete VSO engine in place yet. You never know. So if you have multiple dimensions,
then we consider all of them.
And also on different levels. So if I have like a truck with a certain capacity, yes, with compartments with lower, with
different capacity, then we consider it on every dimension. We can consider it for complete vehicle combinations, truck and trailer, with a total mass or volume, whatever.
Okay, then talking about coming back to times, I think you mentioned the planning horizon. What is that and how would I have it?
Well, the planning horizon is a restriction for optimizer where the freight orders can be planned to. So if you say you have a planning horizon only for one day, and all your freight orders must fit into this one day and cannot start earlier or later.
It would have to avoid that I create freight orders in the past, for example, or?
Normally, you can add to it, but there's also a setting where you can say exceptionally you also want to plan in the past for one optimizer run.
But the idea is to have some additional time because normally the truck cannot leave the next second, but you would need some extra.
Right, you can have an offset. So you say, I want to plan for beginning tomorrow for 1 week or so.
Then talking about times, since you already mentioned the freight needs to be delivered on certain days, do we also have consideration of opening time to the customer and handling capacity as a customer?
This is correct. We have we can at the customer side as well as on the source side. Mm-hmm. You can have opening hours, which say okay, it's you can just load or unload during the day and not during the night. You can have limits on the capacity, like docks to load or unload the stuff, which with a capacity and a calendar there when they are open. And coming to calendars, also the resources itself can have some kind of working calendar. So it's usually forbidden to drive with large trucks on the weekends and sometimes during the night. This can be some calendar on the resource side for vehicles. And also for the drivers itself, we have some kind of driving time restrictions we can consider, which would say, okay, after a certain amount of driving and or working, you have to do a certain amount of break until you continue with driving, working, or whatever. And
that kind of relates to the driving time regulations for drivers, right?
It's not the complete DOT driving time regulation you have in the US or in the EU, but some things which come closer to them, and you can define your own rules, which the optimizer should consider.
Okay.
And those calendars could also be means of transport specific.
Okay.
So you have customers that have packaged in bulk, different receiving hours, or frozen and refrigerated.
Yeah. Okay. More things we consider in the optimizer and didn't mention so far? But it sounds pretty complete.
You can have some restrictions directly in the freight unit stages to say, okay, I want to use some specific mode of transport, means of transport for freight unit itself, to say okay, it's a ocean freight unit, or it's something it has to go with air shipment. For the complete freight unit, you can restrict for it for several stages. You can say for the ocean stuff, perhaps okay, I want to have a specific vessel or flight number for airline stuff and restrict it there.
Okay, still remember there's also a single order flag, right, that you can also define. But only within one compartment, only one order.
Yeah, for compartments to have it.
To make sure that, I think that was for oil, right? That you, because you cannot.
So the oil substance is more or less the incompatibility between freight units in the same compartment. Mm-hmm. But it's more, it was for when splitting up freight units to allow better consolidation, or splitting it up to several trucks, that we can combine it for better to see only fill in with the same
compartment,
same original stuff.
Same also for oil, where you don't have a meter.
Yes, there you're right. Okay.
Okay.
I would also mention the very important, definitely in the North American market, is this hidden parameter of maximum wait time. Otherwise, we can build loads where the truck drives to customer A and then sits there for some time and delivers to customer B the next day.
Right. Yep. Minimum and there's maximum and minimum, right, for that?
I think it was just a maximum.
No, it's a maximum. This is a maximum time where a vehicle resource may stay at some customer. What you mean with minimum and maximum is when using transshipment location, so to that you have a hub in between where you unload the stuff from the first vehicle and do the second stage with another mode of transport, means of transport or whatever, to say, okay, at this hub, the stuff must not be placed more than 3 days to just have your yard free afterwards. But you also can have some kind of minimum. It's mostly when having some kind of customs between for ocean stuff or whatever.
Yes, so typically, if a truck arrives, you cannot immediately leave with the next truck. It needs some processing time there to get it from the one truck to the vessel or vice versa.
Yeah, but the processing time itself, the loading and unloading, there we have also some times which would be needed. This I respected. So you can't, you first have to unload it and it may take 1 hour if it's a large amount of stuff to unload. And after finishing it, then it may be directly reloaded. But you also can have some, especially in the customs area, some say, okay, we first do have some administrative stuff with this freight unit to check it or whatever, and then reload it to the for the next stage.
Loading time durations, I think it's also worth mentioning, right?
So this is the loading unloading time.
Yeah, I think, but it's interesting and maybe sometimes confusing that loading and unloading duration, so how long does it take to load or unload that freight unit at a certain freight unit with a certain means of transport. That is really per freight unit, that means of transport, and independent of the specific location, right? Can you maybe explain a bit on that? Why
we now have it also depending on the location, or it can be maintained depending on the location, but we do not have some kind of a stop dependent time. So let's say depending on whatever you load or unload in this location, it always takes half an hour.
Yeah,
it's not in this kind, but you can say unloading freight unit A at location or at hub A would take 1 hour, and on hub B it would take 2 hours. This is possible within the optimizer. It also can be maintained per means of transport and location.
Wow, cool.
Yes,
but it's not flat per stop. But it's per freight unit.
It's always the loading and unloading. It's always per freight unit and not something. It only depends on location and means of transport, mode of transport or whatever.
I think for that maybe makes sense to calculate that durations. And then since these durations are coming or can be defined with BF plus, maybe it's a good use case from a formula so that you say per kilo or per pallet, it takes that long instead of having, okay, for one pallet 1 minute, two pallets 2 minutes. I mean, that's a use case for using conditions here. That is TM Podcast episode 2. So another plug here. Anything else that we should mention in terms of considerations by the optimizer? Maybe it's most likely it's only 80%, but maybe already enough to give an impression on why does it take more than 1 second to find that best solution. Maybe that can lead us over to, if it does not find the best solution, what can I do? So if I don't find any solution, maybe is there kind of famous mistakes that you always see over and over again and you don't want to see them anymore, so you can mention them here. So top three issues that you see if there's no solution.
Do we talk explanation tool and
we come to that later? Then how to find about maybe first to come there, maybe on what is a typical starter issue if you optimize and you don't get a result.
Typical issue is what we strictly speaking already mentioned is that some data has not been passed to the optimizer. So in the beginning you have to set up your selection, and if this selection is not complete, then the optimizer will not get that information and cannot find a solution. And then it's always a good idea when you come into that situation to check this explanation tool. There you find all the information which has been passed to the optimizer. And if some information is missing there, the optimizer cannot handle it.
And the good thing is it's in a human readable format and even already converted from seconds, etc. Right? I think that unlike in the old days, we had that RCCF log file, which is needs some training to read it. And that one is already converted. So how would I access it? How would I get to that?
You can start from the RCC log file transaction. And from there, with the button, you get you switch into the explanation tool. For each run in the optimizer, you will have one entry. And there you see all the input data that was passed to the optimizer and the result that came back. As you said, in the application, I mean, the file itself is very cryptical, technical. But here you see it in the same way you would see it in the application. So you see the freight units with stages and so on. You can also see we have some features there. You can see the locations on a map. So you have some plausibility check. And you also see some additional messages that you don't see in the cockpit. So in the example that Thomas just gave, if, for example, a lane was not transferred to the optimizer, maybe because the validity was not anymore valid, and you usually get a message like freight unit cannot be delivered because no valid route. But then there you have all the data, like for the geography, all the lanes. So you can check if the lane that's supposed to be used, if it's in the input or not. And then it's easier to find the root cause for not delivered freight units or if a different means of transport was chosen or so.
Is that file, that explanation always there, or do we have to activate it somehow?
There is a switch, user parameter, SCM, TMS, EXP that you have to set to X, and then this is written. Mm. And it's written on the database. It's not directly, it's not a view of the input file, but separate data that are written to the database. And they are always written when you start the optimizer. It's not only when you save, but also if it's a test run, you will still have the explanation data.
Sounds like a lot of data. Is there some housekeeping required for that? Or?
There's a report that's mentioned in the application.
Application operation guide.
Exactly. So there you find it. You have to schedule it. That say after every few days, the old explanation data is cleaned up.
Okay. Good. Is there some other mistakes that no lane? I think one is that stranded vehicle that you have a resource that went from A to B and there's no lane back. I think that is also one.
This is one of the common problems that you maintain your lanes in the direction you want to transport the freight units, but usually a truck has to return back, let's say, to its home depot or wherever, and or to just pick up different freight units to make another freight order. And also for this, we would need some lanes. And so it may happen that if those lanes are missing, a vehicle can perform one freight order. And then it's, like you said, it's stranded somewhere and can't go back there. This is a common problem. And the other common problems are missing resources, missing locations, missing freight units sometimes in the selection itself. Mm.
Or missing transshipment locations.
Or maybe too many constraints. Maybe your colleague has maintained some constraints that you didn't know of. So in the explanation tool, you will see them.
Yeah, this is another area of common mistakes, to have constraints which contradict to each other or which do not fit together. Mm. A simple example would be I have maintained freight unit dates. So the freight unit must be delivered on Wednesday. And I have only bookings which start on Monday and finish on Friday. So it's impossible to deliver this freight unit because
our location is closed on Wednesday.
Okay. So these many constraints we mentioned often contradict to each other, and then you cannot find a solution. Or you find solutions, but which are not the ones you expected. Mm. You find more costly solutions. Mm. But this is not what you expected.
I think one thing is also if that the if I have like a planning horizon, which is only one day, but the travel time is 2 days, that then you also can do that, right? So that kind of stuff.
Yes, and within this explanation tool, we give sometimes some more detailed explanation of what is the reason for not delivering or for whatever. Then we do it in the transportation cockpit. There we have some messages with when we have problems to deliver a freight unit, when we filter it out at the beginning, what I mentioned earlier, that we reduce the problem with this data we can't really use. So a freight unit which can't be delivered because of, let's say, the travel time, which is more than available in the planning horizon, then we filter it out. We just say this freight unit can't be performed. On the planning cockpit as message, and in the explanation tool, we give a more detailed message, which says, okay, it's a problem which comes from here. It's a capacity problem or problem with the time or with the lanes or with incompatibilities or whatever.
Okay. And then if you're now in a situation, you try to optimize, you avoided all that obvious things that you just talk about, but still you don't get the expected result. So how is our process then? So what does a perfect message you would like to get, if you want to like to get a message?
So if you have need to call Mike first.
What is the best way of
we'll give Christoph's email address right after this. Yeah, any problems?
I'll mention it at the end.
Yeah. How do I get that problem addressed? Because I think, as you said, the infrastructure is a bit different. So maybe the way I open a message might be different.
We had a good example today where, if there's unexpected results, you feel like you need to create a message, then create the message, provide as much detail as possible, and include the log file. So there's a way to, in the RCCF, there's a way to download the complete log file, which includes the input file, output file, et cetera.
A trace file.
And put that directly in the message. Make sure, of course, all the usual things. Make sure that the connection is open, that user ID password is in the secure area. All of those things will dramatically accelerate the process.
But so for this, as mentioned in the beginning, usually this writing down the real file with optimizer data is not enabled. So if you have problems with the result, first check, is there such input file, the real input file for the optimizer available? And if not, you have to activate it. There is within the application administration settings for the RCCF, there is a possibility to enable it to write these files down to a hard disk. And then if this is done, then you can download it and attach it to the mail. But if you had a run where it was not enabled, then you have to enable it and rerun this scenario that the optimizer input data is written.
That in file and, you mentioned is not empty. I think it's always there, but sometimes empty, or how would I know that?
It's not there. Then. Just not written.
Okay.
So make sure to enable it prior to a run.
Yeah, if you know in advance that this one won't get the result you want to have, then you can enable it directly.
But if you
unexpectedly see, my run has a result I don't want to have, then check if it was not enabled, enable it and rerun the optimization to have the data, and then attach this data to the message.
And maybe also describe what is your expected result
would help a lot, so that we can see in which direction we have to search what has to be different. Yeah. So if we only have a result, we say, okay, it's a result, but we don't know what the user expects, and then we can see why it's why it's not given, if it's not possible at all because of some strange contradictory constraints we may have inside, which are not obvious to see, or if it's some other problem.
Okay.
Maybe don't forget to disable in case it's a productive system, because writing these files costs some runtime.
Okay.
Yeah, but I've heard a lot of customers who have worry about messing up their hard disk space. There's also some housekeeping behind. So as long as you have planned our cleanup job, which also cleans up the log transaction, the RCCF log transaction, where all the, as we heard, all the optimization runs are locked in. While we do that, we also delete those trays and input files from the hard disks of the optimization server. Even if it's an external box, it's also deleted from there.
Okay.
So you do not really need to worry. Of course, if you have said that you want to delete it after 100 days or something like that, then of course your hard disk might get full. But
it's really deleted. It's not archived then, right?
It's deleted, yes.
In that case. Okay, so wrap up. So make sure you get your write in and out file, zip it from RCC or download everything in the RCCF log, RCC log transaction, right?
Yeah.
And attach it and then describe the expected result and maybe also why, as we touched different ways of best solution before, would be important to know why is this your best solution, and maybe then it's an easier thing to achieve. And I think one thing also worth mentioning, if you new in that area and you have a complicated optimizer scenario, the recommendation, we have some consultants specialized in optimization as such, and then maybe to involve them on a spot basis is maybe a good idea and can save a lot of time and also then money in production if you have a better result that can pay off pretty fast, I think.
Yeah, I mean, one thing to finish up the maintenance stuff, if you have the very rare case where you need an optimization engine or a fix in the optimization engine, you need a new engine, you go to our patches on the service marketplace, download the new executable. It's a pretty fast exchange of just the executables, and you can go back and forth with the executables. You just copy the old ones to a backup directory. You put them back in, because I already said that we are stateless. So it's totally easy to do, and it's also safe, because you can put back on your old ones. And so it's pretty easy. And one thing to note is that there's also a version screen in RCCF where you can look up the version of your optimization engines. And this screen also holds a build date. And this is very important for us because if you download a new patch from the marketplace, it still has version 10, for example, but it comes with a new build date. So we know it's a newer version. We do not distinguish by release number or stuff like that. Release number we do, but while we are in a release, we do not have a SP1 or SP2 or something like that, but we have a different build date. So if you're on 10.0 and you see a 10.0 on the marketplace, don't worry, make sure that it's a newer build date, and then you're good to go.
How often do you build new versions?
We have a weekly patch, so we have weekly updates on the marketplace. It does not necessarily mean that there is a new fix in, but it's an automatic process that we have an update each week. So it's always good to be up to date in this area. And there's also sometimes from release to release, we sometimes think of removing one of the old releases, so that we make our, for example, currently it's our 10.0 version of the SCM optimizer, which is the current version, and it's out there for all TM releases we have. So in former days, for example, it has been SCM optimizer release 9 or something like that. We removed that, or we outdated that and said that the optimizer 10.0 is the current version, and it does work with all older TM releases.
And for the sake of history, I think that's the same engine more or less used also for TPBS.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And there's nothing like a node for the optimizer, I would conclude for that. So it's not that you can implement a node for the optimizer. Yeah. You install a new version, that is a node. Yeah.
If there would be a fix necessary in the optimizer because of errors or whatever, then you have to install a new fix, which usually come on the service marketplace on Friday of a week. And then the fixes and sometimes some performance improvement if we find something relevant. They are available within these fixes. Just replace executable, and then everything is done.
This is because, of course, it's a totally different technical background. It's not ABAP, where we can do some patches, and you can also do easy debugging on the customer side. This is because it's a C++ thing, and you have to exchange the whole executable. That's why we cannot like deliver a correction instruction or something like that.
That also leads to enhancing the optimizer. I think enhancing the optimizer core engine is only possible with custom development, right? The engine as such. So it's not possible that you write your own user exit body, opti, or I don't know what we call it then. It's okay.
There's no such thing as a body within the core optimizer engine.
But there are tons of possibilities in pre and maybe also post-processing. Maybe Mike, you worked a lot in that area. Maybe drop some words on how would I, if I want to manipulate the costs in a way or so, on how would I do that?
Yeah, optimization, pre-processing, enhancement. We've done many enhancements in there. For example, LTL pool point modeling that cost, we can use DSO to calculate the pool point cost and then pass it into the optimizer as a mode cost. We talked earlier about the maximum wait time. So that's a common one where we create a condition and then automatically set the maximum wait time, like for example at customer locations, to 1 or 2 hours to steer the optimizer. FTL cost, it's another area where we can leverage the DSO cost in the freight unit, because what the freight unit does is it calculates all the different direct shipment options, parcel, LTL, truck, whatever lanes you have set up. So since we have the full truckload actual cost in a freight unit, we can leverage that and divide that by the distance and pass that into the optimizer as the fully loaded distance cost, which would include the base rates, the fuel, any other charges, and dynamically pass that into the optimizer rather than trying to maintain the distance costs on the lanes themselves. So just some examples of some.
And where would I do this? Is there a body there or?
Yeah, there's a body for optimization pre-processing and post-processing. Pre-processing has access to all of the, so standard pre-processing goes through and determines the lanes, the distances, incompatibilities, all of the things that we just talked about. All of the input, all of the tables that are then passed over to the optimizer. And at that point, you can manipulate any of those tables before it gets passed to the optimizer.
But again, of course, it's defined. The input tables which are available to the optimizer are defined. Those are the ones that are also passed in the...
And every information you can't fill into one of those tables, you can't pass to the optimizer. So in the application, it would be possible to perhaps add some new nodes into a business, some of your business objects. This may be used inside the complete application if you enhance the code there, but you can't directly pass them as new features to the optimizer. If you have some good luck, you may fill those data into the existing tables of the optimizer. But you can't create your own tables. You may create your own tables, but optimizer won't use them because we have no such logic to use such a user enhancement.
Okay. Good. Any more words on that? Maybe one thing that came into my mind about troubleshooting section. I think if you have a problem and you don't get a solution, one more thing you can do is release some of the constraints, right? I think within the planning run, you can say, okay, now for the moment, I ignore the capacity or so, and then see if it then get a result. It must be somehow capacity related, maybe.
This is a new feature we have in the planning cockpit. So usually when you run the optimizer from the cockpit, the settings from your profiles are used, where we have an additional pop-up window where you can change some settings, say you don't want to use capacity constraints for now or scheduling constraints or... Yeah, some relax, some constraints.
Okay. Good. Well, one of the longest episodes, and we just started, right? So maybe think we are good for today? Yeah, so thanks a lot.
I perhaps would add some yes, small sir, comment. Sure. We do have some further information, some white papers attached to a node in OSS. It's node 124.0.3.3.9. There are some additional remarks. There's a guide how to create a good OSS method, as we just depicted it, and there are more details on how to do it. There we have some white paper more on the technical side on modeling and performance and some additional information. So perhaps it's a good idea to get some further information, especially for the technical or overview things we just had in this session.
Okay. So I think we're good closing words. So thanks for listening. Enjoy the optimizer and its results. Looking forward to make a deeper dive maybe later or go to the next episode then. Bye.